wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. John and Dell this morning, along with RJ, and we're all in different places. I got to turn on Twitch right now because apparently Dell is in studio, and he has – do you have the beard? Are you still going with the beard?
I mean, it's a beard that's trimmed. It's not a neck beard, which was the case like on Tuesday because I don't go anywhere. I was like, you know what? I'm not a neck beard guy, so I just trimmed it up, but there's still a beard there. There's still facial hair.
So it's just a lazy thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a look and aesthetic I'm trying to go for. Look, most of the time, like last year, maybe earlier this year, I went with mustache and a little chin of hair, and Lance took issue with that because Lance takes issue with everything. With me, I live in his head rent-free sometimes, apparently. But now... It became a lazy thing because I didn't care about the mustache so much. But then I realized I was coming in, and I don't want to be a neckbeard guy all the time. So it's just trimmed. There's still facial hair. I mean, you can take your picture off of Twitch if you'd like, but but you're not gonna get the joy that you thought you were gonna get.
No, it's not. It's not nearly as pleasing as I thought.
No,
your hermit beard.
That's what I called it, but I had to get rid of the neck scruff because I didn't really like it.
Oh, that's a shame. See, you disappointed everyone again.
Well, too bad. Well, that's my life, isn't it? Let's go through the people in my life who have been disappointed by me. You'd be low on the list.
Just another day at the office.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. All right, Dell's here with us for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am in Chicago. You can't see me. There's no Twitch on me. I'm naked. I'm at my brother's house. I'm in his office, and I'm naked. And so he's not going to be.
What kind of chairs does he have that you're sitting on a chair?
The regular office chair. Regular office chair like you're there. Yeah. So, you know, he's a little disappointed in me. But, again, like he hasn't been disappointed in me in our lives. That's fine. And that's just fine. In Chicago here, I came to see Memorial Day weekend. Here's the deal is my wife was supposed to go with me yesterday, Dell. We were supposed to fly right after the show, and she was going to come with me. But there's a possibility. Now, you drove into Houston today on quite possibly one of the worst days that you could get there. Man, I'm going to tell you what. All the lefties and the righties are going to be out there today. The NRA gun convention with Donald Trump speaking, okay, will bring out all the righties. And it'll bring out all the lefties, too. There's going to be quite the – at George R. – I think it's at George R. Brown. There's going to be quite the conglomeration of differing political opinions today in the city of Houston. Are you going to get in the middle? Is this something that you want to do? Are you going to protest, or are you going to – are you going to be behind our former president with a big NRA sign? Which one are you?
Is he going to make a guest appearance on Kenobi or Stranger Things? Because that's the only thing I'm going to be doing today. So if he's not in one of those, I'm not going to see him. That's all.
So wait a minute. Stranger Things outweighs our political climate today, Del? It's in our fair city. You're right there. You've already driven into town.
Unless he gets, you know, powers from 11 – or Obi-Wan slices him up with a lightsaber, I'm not going to see him. I'm not going to watch. I don't care. I don't care about the NRA and their back and forth. Look, I certainly have a stance on some things. I just don't care about this political football stuff that we've got going on currently.
Which ratings will be higher, Stranger Things or President Trump's speech?
It's Stranger Things. Stranger Things. What are we talking about?
Oh, highest ratings ever. I don't know.
He's probably a little upset that Netflix and Disney Plus broke out their two prestige shows today. He's like, wait a minute, you're drawing attention away from me. But I have to imagine that the crossover between people who would sit down and watch a speech from our former president and the people who want to watch Stranger Things and Kenobi, I don't know if there's much of that. I don't know if they're siphoning off each other's audiences.
Yeah, I'm not sure that either are interested in the other. You may be right about that. I on the plane yesterday, I downloaded Ricky Gervais's Super Nature.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's okay. It's another one. Oh my goodness. Netflix is about to explode. Netflix head is about to explode after the Dave Chappelle and all the employees. And they said, listen, if you're too woke to work here, beat it. Okay. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who is at woke at all is out after the Ricky Gervais. Cause he like very much like Dave Chappelle, he didn't hold back on anybody. And he kept saying, well, this isn't going to be in it. That's for sure. And sure enough, all of that was in it. And it was actually a pretty damn, if you get it, you got it. You like Ricky Gervais?
The most I've seen of him is when he did the original version of The Office. I mean, he's fine. I mean, I've seen some of his bits and pieces when he does stuff, when he's attacking celebrities. It's okay. I'm not locked in on him. I know the one thing I saw as a headline was apparently some of it was transphobic. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. How's that going to fly? But I think Netflix is fine protecting their creators when it comes to comedians who are very popular. I think they're one of those people who go, what's the bottom line here? What's Ricky going to bring in? Okay, we're fine. We're fine here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Chick-fil-A, right? Well, only just the opposite.
Yeah, well, Chick-fil-A, I don't know if you're here for it, but Chick-fil-A has taken a tumble down the spicy chicken sandwich rankings.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know. You. Yeah. What is it? Whataburger?
Whataburger came out of nowhere because they were introducing some new, some special spicy chicken. So the filet for that went to their regular spicy chicken. And Whataburger, take a back seat. It's better chicken with less controversy, at least in my head. So I'm good.
So now when you want a spicy chicken sandwich, you just head right to Whataburger. Yeah. And Chick-fil-A is totally out.
They're open on Sundays. And
they're out of the rotation?
Kind of. They're open on Sundays and they're open on all day. So, yeah, it's an easy fix for me to not have to feel guilty as I'm eating waffle fries. I just go to Chick-fil-A. Their fries still stink at Whataburger. I wish they would fix those. But
oh, really? You think so? I like them.
There's no consistency, John. I mean, sometimes they'll be hot and crispy. Other times they're like limp and lukewarm. There's no consistency with the Whataburger fries. You can't trust them. That's all I'm saying.
Very, very disappointing. Now, the waffle fries, you can always trust.
Yeah, you can make them or you can go, hey, can I get those well done? And they'll be a little more crunchy if you want them. They almost turn into chips at that point. But I can't trust the Whataburger fries. I get them because you get fries with your meal, but it's like, eh.
Did Ken Hoffman teach you nothing?
I know.
I need him with no salt.
I know.
Yes.
But I'm not I don't want to do that all the time. Can you just make a good product? How about you do that? Why do I have
to? You know what? I'd rather have soggy, oily fries than sit and wait about 5 minutes for my fries.
And when you talk about Whataburger's turnover rate, you're adding 5 minutes to already a 10-minute wait. So you might as well just deal with the chances that your fries will suck.
Is Whataburger slower?
Yes, it's one of the slower chains when it comes to getting your orders.
Oh, no wonder the line's always long out there.
That's what it is. They're one of the slower ones.
We were coming home about, 10:30, 11 o'clock last night. And Portillo's here. I don't know if you know what Portillo's is. Yeah, Portillo's is a beef sandwich place here. There was a line. There was a line about 11 o'clock at night. And Portillo's, people just can't get enough. Portillo's here. That's the Whataburger of here is Portillo's. It's all about beef. There's no like signature burger places here. It's all about, hot beef, Vienna beef, and hot dogs. That's what it's all about here.
What a terrible place to live.
It's not so bad. Actually, I'm going to have some today. I'll get my Portillo's on today. And then, it's all we had was pizza last night.
Oh, well,
Palermo's pizza.
Surprising.
Oh, no. I ate 6 hours of pizza yesterday. Literally 6 hours of pizza yesterday. So I'm good. I'm good today. All right. Now we're going to get our beef on and then we'll get back to Houston where we can get the rest of our food on. So we had last night the Astros off last night. How about this? You're in. You don't even have to talk Astros baseball.
Do you know how off? Like there are going to be more times in the summer of you guys taking vacations. Apparently, I was talking to RJ coming in. He goes, "Man, you guys are doing a lot of vacation stuff during the summer." And I know this. I'm aware of this because it happened to me before when I was the producer here. But you know how many times I look at the schedule and go, "Is there a Thursday night game on before I come on Friday?" And if it's not, I do a little fist pump. I'm like, yes.
So you don't have to watch the Astros. You don't have to talk about baseball.
Yeah, and last night was very important that there wasn't any Astros on because I was catching up on Stranger Things. I did a rewatch. I was catching up. So I am thrilled the Astros finally have a day off, and I can and I don't have to talk about them. We can talk about how they're stealing more bases this year, how they're doing things differently offensively, but I don't have to get into the minutia of one game in 162.
Well, they're still not a good – it's surprising. They're still not a good offensive baseball team. You know, they're winning. They just, again, 2-1. You know, they've been scoring some more runs lately, but their average is still, you know, bottom half of the league. And they're just, and yet still the pitching has been just, I mean, the way Javier is throwing right now, the Verlander goes tonight, and it's against Flexen. And Flexen, you have zero chance of beating this guy. That's how good that Justin Verlander has been. It has been spectacular. It's been unbelievable. The one stinker, you know, Christian Javier, I'm kind of like that wife that will never forget that one thing that you said about Sofia Vergara. I'll never forget that as a wife because every time I see Sofia Vergara, when the one outing that Christian Javier had in Washington, it's still in the bit, like, gnawing at me in the back of my mind, despite the fact that he had 9 strikeouts the other night and was just tremendous. I still feel a little tinge, I've got to get over that.
You longtime baseball fan and now media member who will tell everyone that, you know, baseball 162, you can't determine anything about baseball until like the fourth to last game of the year, are worried about one start considering what he's done.
I know. It just gnaws at me just a little. That's all I'm saying. And now
you think it's something where you're going to look back up in the playoffs. I told you about Javier. If he has a shaky performance, you're going to point back.
Do you remember back in April when he had that outing in Washington?
And everyone told me, John, you're stupid. Shut up. He's been really good. I told you this was coming. I told you he had it in him.
I know, right? God. Well, it's just I'm like, see, and I could never be a manager because I would never. I'm sorry, I can't put you back out there. I know that you. You know, it was one outing out of your 7 that you had a bad outing. But I'm just sorry, I can't put you back out there.
Did you treat your little leaguers this way? Like if they stunk it up on a Saturday, you wouldn't play them the next Saturday? Is that how you treated them?
Oh yeah, no. Well, you're in right field. Go back. Go out to. You're terrible. Get out to right field. All right.
Terrible. Or,
because you only have 2 extra kids. So, you know, just get to right field. I don't want to look at you.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
You would not be empowering your players.
No. I just can't trust you anymore. I know. Yeah, I know that you're batting like 400, but you struck out.
You struck out with the game on the line. So,
You struck out in the first inning.
Just once.
You struck out in the first inning.
With runners in scoring position in the first inning.
Yeah, I'm terrible like that. I'll never forgive you. I'll never forgive you for that. Okay, so when we come back, another blowout in the NBA, and it's just getting ridiculous. And we'll try to explain why on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But do you think, now, here's something. This is something. So I grew up here, and I was delivering, and my family has a distributorship here of Stroh's beer, Heineken beer, and whatnot. Well, I stopped and got a 12-pack of Coors Light on the way over to my cousin's house, and they were all like, what in the world is this? And I said, I'm sorry. It's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I've reformed. I've gotten better in life, okay? I've improved my life. Have you guys? I don't think so. So here's the deal. And even if, you know, you're being persecuted for your beer drinking, don't listen. Stand up strong. Stand up and be a man and drink Coors Light and love it and enjoy it. And I'm keeping Illinois chill right now. You keep Texas chill. I'm in Illinois, keeping Illinois chill. You got to do that. Do your part in Houston today while all of this stuff is going on at the NRA convention. You can get cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. You can relax because you got Coors Light, keeping Texas chill.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Adele along with RJ here. And if you got anything that you want to get in, 713-780-3776. I'm in Chicago, and Adele is in studio, and you can see his sweet, totally sweet trim beard on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN975. twitch.tv/ESPN975 if you'd like to get in there and watch Dell. For some whatever reason, you want to just sit and watch Dell. Dell, another 10-point game last night. Let me ask you this question. Over the last 21 playoff games, how many games were played have been played within 5 points?
So that is obviously the two conference finals here and the conference semifinals. I'm going to go three?
One.
It was, yeah, because even the near comeback for the Celtics in game three was still a 6-point game, right? 109-103. Yeah, major point differentials in a quarter have kind of determined a lot of these games. Last night, the Celtics, you know, Golden State, first quarter where they're up 28-23, Spencer Dinwiddie hits a three at the end of that first quarter. Then they take apart the Mavs 41-29. And it was a major difference in the game. You look at the rest of the game, relatively evenly played, but there have been big quarter swings in all of these games, and teams haven't been able to respond with a giant quarter of their own, and that has determined the fate of these games.
Well, and here's the thing is, because it's the playoffs, there are fewer rubber band swings. So in the regular so in the postseason, there are actually more blowouts than in the regular season. And this is with better basketball teams, right? If you're in the playoffs, you're a better basketball team. You would think that the Sacramentos and the Houstons and the Orlandos would get blown out so much that there would be more regular season blowouts than there are in the postseason. But in the postseason, there are more. Since 2003 and 4, 14.9% of regular season games have ended with 20-plus point margins. 17.6% of playoff games. That's nearly 3% higher, which is unbelievable. And it's even worse as the playoffs go on. So in the second and third rounds, when the really good teams are supposedly playing, there's even more blowouts. It's a higher percentage of blowouts. Okay, so here's probably some reasons why. Less reason to save players for tomorrow, because the implications of giving an extra game away are potentially disastrous. Star players play more minutes and deeper into games already largely decided. I could see that, right?
Yeah.
Like we see guys are still out there when you're like, hey, what are you still doing? We saw Joel Embiid get hurt, and Doc Rivers was criticized. What's he still doing in this game?
Well, that was dumb. It was 29 points without, 4.5 minutes, whatever it was. That was stupid, and it might have cost them a conference semifinal series. But I see that. Even last night, the Warriors had a big lead. Dallas was trying to fight back, but still. Wiggins played 40. Steph played 35. You know, they brought those guys out at the end of the game for their coronations, but Bielitsa played 22. Jordan Poole played 28. The next highest was 11. Like, the bench guys didn't get in. Like, the back end of the bench didn't get into the final 2 minutes of the game, when, although the game was probably clearly decided beforehand. You just don't limit the minutes anymore.
And then there is this, which happens all the time in the NBA. A team builds a huge league lead. They ease up on defense, less focus. They're just not, the care factor is just not there during the regular season. It's called the rubber band effect, which happens all the time. If you have a team that blows out the team in the first half in the regular season, you know what? You bet the other side in the second half, and chances are you're going to win that bet. It just doesn't happen nearly as much in the postseason because guys are so much more focused. The good players stay on the floor, and as opposed to losing that lead like you do during the regular season, it actually you in some cases increase it, which we've seen plenty in this postseason.
And I think possibly coaches are more apt to call that run breaking timeout. Like you'll call a timeout in the regular season because the lead goes from like 20 to 10. But now it's like, oh, they made a couple of baskets in a row. We've had a couple of bad possessions in a row. Let's call a timeout because it's now 15 instead of 22. We don't want it to get even close to single digits. I wonder if coaches are more apt to call more sets to get a good, actually get a good shot, as opposed to letting those guys kind of roam free until it gets into the danger zone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then a couple of other things is exploiting matchup advantages, picking on individual weaknesses. They point out game two, the Suns, Mavericks, Phoenix, every possession they went at Luka. Last night they went at Luka plenty. He at the half, boy, did he catch it. He caught it from Stan Van Gundy. He caught it from Charles Barkley, and rightfully so. In the second half, he started knocking down stuff. But when you in the postseason, you see a weakness, man. You just and coaches, I guess the opposing coaches are slow to react. They have to in game as opposed to in between games. Then you can react and somehow make up for it. But in game, it just seems like you're just taking advantage and exploiting the other team's weaknesses when you get to know them, and you get to know the other teams well too. You get to know who's the weak link defensively, or whatever the case may be, and what matchups that you love. So you take advantage of those more. And then they also say the intensity of home crowds rise during the playoffs, and you certainly see that. You know, although home court advantage, really, your Heat series. And Celtics series really hasn't meant too much in that series.
Yeah, it hasn't mattered. The Celtics have a chance to close that at home. And if you are someone who has any hope for Miami to go in there and win a game six, I think it is now. It's not the exact date, but it's the 10-year anniversary of the big three nearly coming apart at the seams. And then LeBron after losing three in a row, including a game five at home, then LeBron goes in there and has one of his best games ever on TD Garden floor and saves the Heat season. They went on to win game seven Eastern Conference Finals, and they go on to win his first title. So that's some history that Celtics are trying to avoid. There is no LeBron. Jimmy Butler would have to have a better performance than he has had in the last two games. He has that. The thing about that series is, particularly the home games, the home team's losing, is the inability to shoot the basketball. The Heat have been were terrible, particularly their perimeter players in game five. Boston, when they have lost quarters and lost games, it's because their inability to make buckets. I know defense has been a big part in that series, but sometimes make an open shot. That's been a lot of the issue, particularly in game five for Miami, where, I mean, even Eric Spoelstra talked about it. He talked about how the shot profile is something they are comfortable with. Like, the shots they're taking, it's just that they're not making them. They'll see if they can kind of figure that out. But yeah, home court hasn't mattered. Even last series for the Celtics, they lost two games at home to the Bucks. The Bucks did the same. Home court has not mattered much unless you're the Warriors.
It has. But that Warriors advantage is just huge. We'll find out. I don't know that Boston wins in this wins tonight. If you want to know the truth, I think this could go seven.
Yeah,
I don't know that the Heat are going to win in game seven.
You never know. Yeah, the home team with game seven, it feels like that you side with them, but in this series, I couldn't say that that's going to happen. I mean, if you are thinking, can the Heat win one, you would have to hope that their perimeter players, their starting perimeter players, like if you look at their last game in game five, I think it was something like 4-4, if I'm remembering the numbers right, around, like Jimmy Butler was the only perimeter player in the starting lineup who made a shot. Like Kyle Lowry didn't make a shot, Max Strus didn't make a shot. You can't win a game that way. Even when you only give up 93 points, but your starting perimeter players make four out of probably around 35 shots, that's a problem. So you would hope for some regression to the mean for Miami. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what's going to happen that game because Miami looked like they were reeling after game two, and then they scored 40-plus points in the first quarter or around there, something like that. There maybe it was 38 points in the first quarter. So I don't know what's going to happen. You would have to hope that we get a good game. Can we get a good game? Even if it's the deciding game and Boston makes it to the finals.
Can we get a good game? We've had one three-point game in out of the last 21 postseason games. That's how bad it's been. I mean, the series is good because it's 3-2.
It's long, yeah.
Yeah, but the other series this postseason. And you think that you would think that possessions would be fewer in the postseason because of the defensive intensity. 95 possessions. They're averaging 95 possessions right now in the postseason. 95.6 possessions in 2022.
So
nearly two possessions more per quarter than like 18 years ago in the postseason.
So to put a fine point on the shooting numbers in game five for Boston-Miami, Strus, Lowry, and Butler combined for 4 for 33. Those are your starting perimeter players. The starting lineup itself, when you when we move over to three-pointers, combined for 2 for 22 from three. That's how bad the shooting was. And their defense.
Well, and that's coming off the 18-point performance by the starters in the previous game.
Yeah. And Bam took a lot of slander for game four after his good game three. He had he was 18 and 10. Some of that came late when it didn't matter, but he was far from the problem. So, I mean, if you play the odds, maybe you think that shooting is going to continue. I'm not a better, but if you're thinking if we're going to get a game seven, can we get a reversal? Because they were in the game. I mean, the Celtics scored 93 points. That is not, as you mentioned, the possessions. That is not a lot of points in today's NBA. Clearly, it's just that the starters for the other team, perimeter players, go 4 for 33, so you win a game.
Yep. Josh Donaldson. I want to get your take on Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson. We'll do it on the other
racist.
Side.
Racist! Is that it? Am I done?
On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, you know what? You might catch a lawsuit for that. And you know who you're going to need to call for your slander? The Morley Law Firm. MORLEY law.com. MorleyLaw.com. What is it that you have? Do you have an issue? Are you having custody issues? If you are, call the Morley Law Firm. Any divorce issues? She has a lawyer. Do you? I know you don't have one on retainer. How many of us have lawyers on retainer? We just don't. We've got the Morley Law Firm, though. You can give them a call. Make the call, Morley Law, all right? 713-839-9955. Make the call and ask them. Tell them your story. Set up an appointment. You get to explain exactly what your issue is, and then they'll tell you whether or not you have a case or whether or not they can take on your case. They have it's all criminal defense. It's civil defense. It's personal injury. It's immigration. It's other injuries. Anything that you need representation for, the Morley Law Firm can handle. They are unbelievable. All of the experience that they have. Listen, you're dealing with a team that has been there, done that, seen it, and you're looking for great representation. You got it with the Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law. 713-839-9955 or Morley Law, MORLEY law.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Dell. Lance is off lazy in Belize. You know what? I would be lazy in Belize, too, I think, if I were him. Did you hear the story of him getting first class seats and taking it while his wife sat back and coached?
I saw a tweet about it. I didn't hear the story, but I think to myself, would I do that? Well, first off, there wouldn't be a wife, so that's the first mistake I wouldn't make. But if it came to it, how much do I like this woman?
Well, it's the mother of his children.
That doesn't answer the question.
And no, he likes her. He really likes
so
his wife.
So how do you allow that to happen?
I don't. To me, it's one of the worst moves you could possibly. It's something. You know how I talked about. You talked about Sofia Vergara a little bit earlier. This is something she will never, ever, ever let go of. Ever. You selfishly went up to first class while I sat back here by myself. That's the thing. Is it's husband and wife. My wife and I. We like to. Like I told you, I watch Ricky Gervais. I download stuff for when we're on a plane. We have our headphones. We watch. I got the adapter for both two sets of headphones. We watch movies together. It's a bonding time. It's a wonderful event when we take a flight together. We get to watch a movie together. So for him to just, you know, selfishly go up into first class eating sandwiches up there when she actually said, "Do you get any food up there? I'm hungry." And he's eating a chicken ciabatta sandwich up there. I mean, it just doesn't get any more selfish than Lance. I'm just saying, he's a selfish lover.
What? You mean a selfish...
Well, he loves his wife, so...
Selfish in his love for his wife, or is he a selfish lover?
That's what I said. No, same thing.
You know words and context matter. So are you suggesting that Lance is just selfish, or is he a man who is selfish when it comes to activities?
I don't know the difference.
Well,
he's selfish.
No, I think he's selfish because he stole that intern's burger. That's why I think he's selfish.
Well,
selfish lover, it's a different connotation.
How many instances of his selfishness do we need? Okay.
do you think his selfishness extends to nachos?
I don't have any idea. All I'm saying, he loves Nicole. He was selfish in this instance.
Does he?
He's a selfish lover.
You're telling me a story like he doesn't love Nicole.
No, he loves his wife. He does. He said he did it for the show so that there's a story.
Ah, I'm sure. Because always seems well thought out when he does things.
And actually, I've been offered an upgrade before, and I actually offered it to my wife, and my wife said, no, I want to sit back here with you.
Well, that's
Now that's a true love story.
That's the approach you always have to take, even if you would really want to get away from her for 4 hours.
Yeah,
you don't take the opportunity. Even I know.
Ever want to get away from my wife for four hours?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying like the royal you, the usted or whatever you have to say. Yeah, I'm not saying you, but if you're out there, and you actually would like to spend 4 hours away from your wife. You don't do that. No. That's not what you do.
By the way, the usted thing that Lance always says, you know, that means I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about. Generally, you usted is not the correct form. Usted just is a you with a respect, okay, as opposed to tu, which is more familiar.
That's just
a little grammatical Spanish grammatical thing that bothers me about Lance when he says that.
One of many things that bother you about Lance.
Josh Donaldson came out with this statement. First and foremost, I have the utmost respect for what Tim Anderson brings to the game of baseball. I said it over the weekend that I apologize for offending Tim and that it was a misunderstanding based on multiple exchanges between us over the years. My view of that exchange hasn't changed, and I absolutely meant no disrespect. In the past, it had never been an issue, and now that it is, we have a mutual understanding. He also apologized to the Robinsons, Jackie Robinson. For those of you who don't know, Josh Donaldson, baseball player for the New York Yankees, a card-carrying a-hole. He called Tim Anderson Jackie, but in an interview with Sports Illustrated, Tim Anderson said, I'm the new Jackie Robinson. Let me ask you this though.
Mm-hmm.
If you referred to yourself as the Martin Luther King of this show, okay.
I imagine someone out there would.
What do you think we would be calling you? Okay.
Can I ask you something?
Would there be any MLK references?
Let me ask you something. Well, you made one. You said he can take an L. If you remember what you said back then.
I remember in Oregon
they were taking down.
In their I don't know cafeteria or one of their study. They had quotes from MLK, and because he only used male pronouns,
they took him down.
They took his quotes down, and. You know, I just said, well, it looks like he's got to take the L here.
And I said, well, I think he took the biggest L. But the issue is, if I said that on this show, there is a relatively long-standing relationship where I can expect to hear the sniping, the jokes about me saying that on the show. Donaldson would say, yes, we have a bit of a relationship, where Anderson's like, no, we don't. So that's the thing that difference of opinion is where I'm trying to figure out the gray area, because if there is no real relationship, then don't call me Jackie. Look, we're not boys. I'm not even saying it's racist. I'm just saying if you call me Jackie, I'm allowed to get offended by it if I don't like you. But I wouldn't need, because you're trying to get under, even if you're just trying to get under my skin because of something I said that you might deem outlandish in a media interview. We're not boys, so I'm going to take issue with it. But here, if you did that, I'd be like, okay, this is how the show goes. I said something stupid. In my case, so why would I ever say I'm the MLK of this show? Unless I expected the jokes to fly.
Well, right, but Tim Anderson did say.
I know.
And if you're going to refer to yourself, I'm sorry. You're going to catch it, aren't you?
I think honestly. You will. I just don't know where the heart of the matter in terms of, is that a racist comment, or is Josh Donaldson simply just screwing with you because you said something that might be deemed ridiculous? Now, I know others have said that it was racist, and then Anderson agreed with that when it was brought to his attention. I don't hear the tone, but if he was like, "All right, Jackie, relax," if he said it like that, or look, that's a thing between
or
those
every
two.
Every time he sees him, he said
that's
you
what
know,
he said.
That's what he said. And Tim Anderson, no, we ain't got that kind of relationship.
So did Tim Anderson?
Maybe Tim Anderson had to backtrack. I don't know, because he did explode. He was pissed. First of all, he's pissed about the way that he tagged him out the week before at third base. Josh Donaldson, listen, a buddy of mine told me, hey, Josh Donaldson was in Minnesota the last couple of years. They hated him there. The Twins hated him. Not the opposing teams, his actual team. He is a dude that is in your face, intense. He ain't afraid to talk. He ain't afraid. He's always on. I could certainly see Josh Donaldson, you know, going, oh you're Jackie Robinson? Okay, watch this.
Well, I have I was a kid at the time, but when I was first learning how to play soccer, I was in a league that was pretty much all Hispanic. There weren't any non-Hispanic players in the league. And when I was just learning how to play, the kids would call me Pele, like on the opposing teams. And you know, as a kid, I'm not like, oh, that's racist. But you grow up, you're like, okay, they're calling you. But I knew they're calling me Pele because he had dark skin, and probably because I wasn't very good. So it was all the sarcasm going on. Then I think to myself, oh, that's racist.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, sure, John. It's great.
No, but I mean, it's clever. It's not.
It's not that
calling
clever.
You the greatest soccer player ever,
John. It's not that clever.
It's 10-year-old. But for 10-year-olds, it is.
I mean, no. It's like, oh, there's a dark skinned kid here. We're gonna call him Pele. It's not that clever.
Well, and he sucks. So we're gonna.
First of all, I didn't suck. I said I was learning. I never.
Well, you weren't very good.
I never sucked. No, I didn't. You said I wasn't very good. I said I was learning. Well, I was on a team who won 3 straight titles, so I wasn't. No, a starter, by the way. As I go into my Al Bundy bag, but no. It was, hey, that's a dark-skinned kid. We don't even really know if he's very good. We're going to call him Pele because we think it's funny. That's what Donaldson was doing. Now, I don't know. Is that racist? Is it?
No, but it's different because if you were calling yourself Pele,
yeah,
and they were
that.
Calling you Pele, right? Tim Anderson called himself Jackie Robinson.
That is the
when you do that, you open up Pandora's box.
That is the gray area where I'm like, that's just Josh Donaldson, known card carrying, as you say, a hole, known not to be liked, known to be an agitator. That's right. Him being an agitator.
Well, he's being an agitator, but you brought it on yourself.
I'm just getting into the what Josh Donaldson is. This isn't like one of the more or one of maybe not beloved, but one of the guys no one really has an opinion on. Then he just calls you Jackie.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy who saw something out there and did it because he likes to agitate. And then you can determine if that's racist or not. I just know that it's a gray area for me, because I think, hey, man, I know you did it because he said it. Would he? I mean, I guess if he called him, like, I don't know, Frank Robinson, I guess it would be more apt to be said, okay, he's being racist because he called Tim Anderson Frank Robinson.
Right.
That's another black player.
Had nothing to do with that, what Tim Anderson had said.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to establish myself as the Michael Jordan of the show.
Why?
I would like you to, because you guys have called me the James Harden of
the show.
Well,
you kind of are.
And there's someone else. Oh, the agitator like Josh Donaldson, a character in A-hole.
You are an
agitator. Was like, you're
an agitator.
Like him. Yeah. No. I'm trying to establish myself as the Michael Jordan of this show, okay? And I don't mind the racial overtones because, remember, I'm dark meat.
Don't say dark meat. You're Michael Jordan. You're most like Michael Jordan because you punch a teammate. That's the only way you're like Michael Jordan.
No, I'm a great teammate.
Are you?
Okay? Yeah, I'm making everybody better around me. We're champions. It couldn't be more appropriate.
I think if we're talking about toxic culture and saying where did it come from, we'd point right at you.
Yeah, well, there's no toxic culture here, okay? There's zero toxic culture because
we can interview former people on the sales side and see what they have to say.
No, it just doesn't get any more harmonious. Okay?
I'm not saying people.
I like the president. I like President Trump. I bring people together. Okay.
Well, yeah, they're all going to be in one place today, so maybe I guess.
Did he not bring people together? Both sides are getting together today at the NRA convention because of President Trump. I mean, he just brings people together.
When is that starting? Because this show ends at 10. I want to be out of the area by that. When is that beginning?
I don't know what time it starts, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be good. I can tell you
and
that.
And where is this again? Where?
I think it's at George R., isn't it?
Huh.
I don't know. I hope it's at a big place because it's going to be crowded.
Are you
going to
live stream it from Chicago?
I'm not going to. I do want to see what the cover Channel 13's coverage is, though. I do. It's going to be. I think it's going to be a very interesting day in the city of Houston. After Beto went after the governor, I think, and all of this stuff, and now Trump is here, and he brings I don't know, a lot of feelings.
He brings both elements to the table.
Yes, he brings elements. So it'll be an interesting day in the city of Houston, that's for sure. Hey, take the day off work and play a round of golf with your favorite sports station, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Occasional Invitational, presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting kids' meals. The tournament, it's going to take place Tuesday, June 14th, 10:30 a.m., Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. There are spots available. It is affordable. It is for charity, kids' meals. So let's go. Come on. Let's fill this thing up, and let's have a big time. I'll be riding around drinking Coors Lights with you out there on the golf course. Right now, though, what I'm doing is I'm talking about the big fight that's coming up tomorrow night. Big fight tomorrow night. If you're looking for a great way to spend your Saturday night, five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defending his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. Two undefeated fighters in a matchup for the ages live on pay-per-view Saturday, May 28th, 8 o'clock Central, our time, 8 o'clock. Go to Showtime.com to order now. Gervonta Tank Davis, he's pretty damn good. 26-0 with 24 knockouts. And how about Romero? He is 14-0 with 12 knockouts. Dudes can both go. This is going to be a good one. 135-pound matchup with a lot of – listen, there's more action in these 135-pound matchups than any of them. But these guys have got knockout power as well. Like I said, you got 26 fights and 24 knockouts, while the other guy's got 14 and 12 knockouts. So there's going to be some punch power. This ain't like two little flyweights just, hitting each other and a thousand times and nothing happens. These guys can knock each other out. And then Aris Landy, the American Dream Lara, against Gary Spike O'Sullivan is the co-main event. 28-3-3 in a 154-pound matchup. 28-3-3 is Lara. So let's go. You guys are looking for a great fight. O'Sullivan is 31-4. With 21 knockouts. So good fights Saturday night. Showtime.com. You want fights? Showtime.com tomorrow night.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
John and Del, today Lance is off lazy. We will be off on Monday, so we'll be back in studio on Tuesday, Lance and I both. And get to the website and sign up for the occasional tournament because we're going to head into June here, just a couple of weeks left. Come on, join us out June 14th, 10:30. Let's fill that thing up and make some money for kids' meals. I'm looking at a list, Dell. Since opening day, the most negative tweets about baseball player. Who do you think leads the way?
Oof. First, let's pretend like I care. And then... it can't be Correa, can it?
Correa is fifth.
Okay. Negative. Who is out there taking slander right now?
Well, the one guy
on
the
Donaldson?
Astros.
Has that picked up in the last...
No, actually, Donaldson is way down the list. I don't know, man. There's 5, 10. He's 11th on the list.
Hmm. You think there's an Astro on the list?
Well, there's an Astro who catches
all... Is it still Altuve?
Altuve is second on the list. There's
still
one Major League Baseball player that is more hated, more negative tweets about him than Jose Altuve, which is nice since Altuve moves from first spot to second spot.
it's who is it?
Manny Machado.
Well, he's an agitator, but what's Manny doing in San Diego that has?
Well, Manny Machado's having a big year in San Diego.
So what's,
maybe because he's beating your team and you hate him.
He's beating your ass, so you have an issue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Manny Machado, without Tatis, Manny Machado is carrying that team. He's been unbelievable, an MVP candidate. So Manny Machado is up there, number one. Jose Altuve, number two. Everybody, thank you. Good night.
Well, we know Dodger fan and Giant fan ain't the greatest in the world. So if Manny Machado's putting up numbers against their team, you can see the hate flying.
Yeah, I could see this. You know, it's just Dodger fans. Because Dodger fans are the most hateful people in the world, and they hate they hate San Diego, they hate Jose Altuve, so they account for the majority of all of these. They send out the most hateful tweets. Bryce Harper is third. Max Scherzer, who left the Dodgers for the Mets,
he wanted to get out of that hateful environment.
Carlos Correa is next at five. How about this?
Is RJ, are you a Dodger fan? That's why you had that look on your face when he said what he said. Okay.
Yeah, you people are the most hateful people on earth, but okay. Trevor Bauer, the guy who, I don't even want to go into his sexual preferences, but he's suspended for 2 years, and he's sixth. You would think that Trevor Bauer would be much more hated than this, and yet just sixth because of the cheating scandal. And because Manny Machado's beating your ass.
Well, out of sight, out of mind for Trevor Bauer. I mean, the suspension came down, but he's not out there pitching. People don't have great attention spans. He's not out there. So he falls down the list. And he also is not he's not enemy number one for Dodger fans. So if your thought is they're making up most of this hate list, they're not going to tweet about a guy that was on the roster who did something terrible because, you know, sorry, RJ, they're hypocrites. So, I know Trevor Bauer did something terrible, but hey, we ain't going to talk about him despite the fact that he was on our roster. We'll talk about the guys who we have irrational hate for in baseball who haven't done anything terrible other than, you know, beat our team.
Right. Aroldis Chapman is next, who should be getting a lot more hate from Yankee fans for how terrible he is. Mike Trout is next. You don't get to a Dodger, well, other than the one that's not even playing. You don't get to a Dodger until Freddie Freeman, way down the list. That's behind Tim Anderson and Shohei Ohtani for all the racists out there.
Okay.
Freddie Freeman is way, way down the list. This is definitely Dodger fans. Mookie Betts is getting some hate because he has struggled. Max Muncy has been terrible, and he's getting some hate, but way down the list. This is clearly just a Dodger list.
Yeah.
This is clearly just a Dodger list of hatred.
Yeah, but Freddie Freeman thing, he's played well, so is that Braves fan going after him?
I would imagine there's some Braves fans that are, yeah, screw you. Although Matt Olson hasn't been bad, though. I mean, Matt Olson took over for him, and his numbers are actually pretty good, so I don't know why Braves fan let it go. I mean, you didn't want to pay him, so let it go, Braves fan. It's what you do. It's what baseball fan do, though, right?
Yeah, and they're three games under 500, 7.5 behind the Mets, so they're angry for multiple reasons, and watching Freddie thrive in L.A. probably ain't helping the cause.
Yep. No Astros game last night, everybody. The Astros will play tonight with Justin Verlander on the mound against Flexen, and Flexen has been really, really bad, so this is – I got to go to my bookie and see what Verlander is. Probably a 180 on the road at Seattle. How about the Astros? How about a break? We get a day off finally. 33 games in 34 days, and we end it with a day off that we get to fly to Seattle.
That's a nice trip to the Pacific Northwest.
The league hates our Astros.
Well, we know that. We know that they're not well. The Astros are the team that they want to dump on because it's the easiest one to do. Like, look, the Astros are a great target to dump on. If I'm going to play into this thing that scheduling has taken over in terms of screwing the Astros over, it's an AOS game. What did you want them to do? Go to Texas, I guess? Flip the Texas and Seattle series and go to Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How about stay home? How about get a day off and the next game is at home? That would be totally sweet. I mean, give us a break. It's just ridiculous how much we we're hated. Well, that's just terrible.
Coming off a 7-game homestand, you finish 5-2, have a day off, you go up to Seattle, take care of that business against the, one of the worst teams in baseball. They're giving you a break. You get to play the Seattle Mariners.
That is kind of a break. Although the Mariners were supposed to be good this year.
No, that's the team you thought was going to be good.
No. They're going to be great. I'm convinced of that. Don't worry about
it. They're last place in ALS. You think they're going to be great?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Behind Oakland, who's not even trying?
I don't even like the Mariners, but I thought they were going to be good this year. They're going to pass the Angels before this is all said.
I heard you say that.
Watch yourself.
They better pick it up. I mean, I know it's a long season, but making up, what are they at? 8.5 games the way they play? Huh.
It's nothing to them. Don't worry about my team.
To them.
To my team. Yeah. Don't worry about my team, okay? I can't.
Playing 400 baseball, your team.
Mm-hmm. Hey, when we come back, some start times. And I want to talk a little college football with Dell. A little college football on the other side.
Are Jimbo and Nick friends again? Or has that been decided? Are they good buddies again after Nick apologized?
Who, Nick?
Nick Saban. Are they good friends again after Nick said I shouldn't have said what I said?
Oh, no, they're not.
That's
good
not
friends.
Over. Oh, I thought he might have pulled back from the 40,000 despicables. I mean, is that he's still upset with Nick? Nick apologized. Isn't that enough?
He ain't answering his calls. I don't know. They're not getting anything done because he ain't answering his calls.
I guess when they have the meetings, he can.
Come at the king. You better not miss. Jimbo's the king.
Of what?
Right.
8-4.
National champion. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. We're talking about almost a decade ago.
Number
now.
One recruiting class.
Well,
King.
I was told he bought all that, so can I really give him credit for that?
Well, the king's rich. Don't worry. King's got some money.
No, the king and his dukes are rich. The duke's shelling out all that cash.
He's rich. Prima Nocta.
No,
he's got all of it.
He's not gonna. He doesn't get to have sex with the newly married couples in College Station.
That's what. Hey, he's the king. He can do whatever he wants. He won the recruiting wars. He's number one. He's the king. So you best not miss
him and
come after.
You know
the
how that worked out for Mac Brown when he was winning all those recruiting titles in the back half of his time at Texas.
That's Texas. Oh, you're comparing Texas and Texas A&M.
Yes.
Stop. Okay. Stop. That's ridiculous. All right. 5-7 against 8-4. We ain't having it. Okay.
what a comparison for those two.
Stop already. All right. Let's talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. They got right now the EcoSport S, $269 monthly payments with only $1,000 down. They have three available. This is a great starter car. I don't know if you've got a youngster, a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, and they're begging you for a car. This is a great way to start. It's a fun, capable, connected 5-passenger interior features available. Sync 3 features, auto TM. Compatibility and available 8-inch voice activated touchscreen rear view camera comes standard. Drivers can start, unlock, locate their vehicle from anywhere. You want this with a 16-year-old too, that they can locate their car from wherever. Listen, only 25 certified transits. Over 25 certified transits in stock as well. The certified transit is an unbelievable great work van. And they can customize it to whatever it is that your business is that you need. They're unbelievable. Large inventory of certified pre-owned trucks, but not just Ford. They got Chevrolet and Ram as well. You can still get certain Ford vehicles that you can order and get the unbelievable deals that they've got, the rebates and everything else. If you're looking for that Ford car truck or a pre-owned vehicle as well, get a certified pre-owned vehicle from Chastang Ford. They're loaded on the lot. So you're looking for that car or truck. My daughter came all the way from Oklahoma City to buy her pre-owned vehicle at Chastang Ford. You can go across this town. It's at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.